Selling system number two, using a discounted listing broker. So let's talk about the reasons that you might choose this route. First one is you're cheap. I know people that are cheap. I mean, some of them are actually very rich, but they're very cheap when they spend money. That kind of drives me nuts. But so there's people that always want to get a discount, no matter what service that they're involved in, whatever service they're hiring, they want it to be cheap. And they believe that'll save them a lot of money. That's exactly why they go there. Another reason is you can't make a profit and pay full commission. Once again, if you've put yourself in that position, that you're in a tight spot, especially in a down market. There's a good chance that it's not going to work out real well for you. A legitimate reason maybe is you need you're in a tough selling market and you need to bonus the sales side of the equation. So you want to only have a 6% commission, but you want to end up with a 2% listing fee and a 4% sales side. That may be a legitimate thing to do. Because as you can see, that one listing that we went through, where, matter of fact, we didn't point that out, but remember all those comps and or expireds or pendings and all that we were looking at, only one house had a 4% commission. And that stands out to the agent that's showing that kind of inventory. It's just human nature. They're going to go to that inventory first and try and sell it so they get a bigger payday for the effort. You think getting the property in the MLS at the most reasonable price is superior to a higher price and a full-priced listing agent. That's an interesting theory. My son Greg had talked to a very experienced agent, and basically his whole job, he felt, was getting the inventory to be priced at or below market, and that he himself really didn't bring much to the party other than that. I'm just curious, Larry, do you feel that that's one of the keys, or is there any magic that you bring to the party that makes people want to sell your listings? Do you sell most of your listings out of your office?
Well, we try to show our listings. I have five assistants that have licenses, so we try to show our own listings as often as we possibly can. We're continuously trying to sell them and show them.
Okay. If you didn't do that, would you be in escrow far fewer times?
Yes.
Okay. So you've really taken on both sides of that equation. And you said your signs are all over the place because you have so many either active listings or sales or solds that it is feeding the buying side just by referrals?
Yes. We're in a pretty small radius as we work within, and we have a lot of signs. So we do get a lot of buyer calls.
Okay. Other than pricing it right, is there any, you know, rabbit out of the hat that you pull out of, or does it literally come down to being priced extremely well?
No, we just try to give people real good advice on pricing and, you know, do a close evaluation of what they're competing against. And then we have real good internet coverage, real good internet advertising, and I would, real good telephone coverage. And we're able to show listings whenever, you know, anybody wants to see one of our listings, we're right there to show them, things of that nature.
Has the internet changed the business over the last, say, 5 years?
Yes.
Quite a bit?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Things that I would consider if I was going to go the route of discounting a listing broker, you may not be able to get expert help from discounted agents. And what I mean by that is sometimes people get into that side of the business because they have not a great deal of experience. They want to do a fair amount of volume, but they don't have great experience. They may not be able to help you in some of the ways more experienced agents can. They also might lack contacts. I know one of the things that's an advantage when Andrea gets a listing is we also are adopting her reputation in the marketplace. So her reputation is very strong. She puts a listing in the MLS. She can call up some very heavy sales agents that will tour our property along with maybe properties that they're touring for their office because of her reputation. And you might not have that type of an agent if you're dealing with a discounted brokerage service. They just might not have the contacts. Lack of other broker associates who know and like how they do business. So these agents that do have the clients, the buying clients right now, they can choose to be a little picky about who they're dealing with. They're not going to try and sell a property of somebody's listing that really is very difficult to deal with and doesn't know what they're doing. So they really have a choice. Resistance of other firms to show properties that are listed by discounted brokers. So there's a chance that that's resented by other brokerage companies, and they just literally don't want to show the properties where the discounted fees. So that can be a problem. Due to the low margin, and I'm talking about the commission going to the agent, perhaps the property won't have sufficient exposure. So if that's the case, there's a couple ways to solve that. Solve the problem by paying for ads and or signs yourself if need be, and make sure the selling agent's commission is not discounted. If you're going to discount one side of the commission, make sure it's the listing side, not the sales side. You'll notice, if you noticed in that one example used when we're trying to appraise that property, there were still a fair amount of commissions that said 2 or 2.5. In this market, that's not a very smart idea. They're not going to be looked at very often, so you don't want to do that. Make sure you have an exit if this plan does not work. I'm real big on if I have a listing and it's not working out, I want a way out. It's not costing anybody else but me for $5,000 a month. If it's not working, I want a way out. So up front, and it's the only time to do it, you know, arrange an exit fee to cover listing and ad costs. So literally, I'll be in a position where I'll reimburse the person to where they're not out of pocket to let me free me up to where I can go do something else, you know, plan B, because I don't want to just sit there and wait for 3 months while this pans out and it's already evident it's not going to work. Don't get tied to this listing for more than a month. The very first time I deal with an agent, I want that to be as short as possible, not because I want to fire them and go on, but I want to see that they do exactly what they told me they would do. You ever have the experience where the best sales job the person ever does is getting the listing, and then nothing happens after that that they promised? Not one ad or not an open house and nothing else. I don't want to be put in that position, so I want an exit plan, and the best time to get that is before they get the signature on the bottom. It's very hard to negotiate that afterwards without hard feelings. So it's much tougher to do it afterwards, and it's still not easy, but if you don't get some cooperation up front, we're saying, you know, we're kind of getting to know each other here. I want a 30-day period. I want to see what your plan is, what you want to do to market my property, and if it doesn't work, where we go from there. Maybe we're just both wrong. Maybe the market's changed. Maybe 2 weeks after we listed it at the number we thought would work, a bunch of REOs came and change the market. Hey, that can happen. I accept that, but I don't want to get stuck with it for 3 months. On the top of page 88, quadrant number one, so you're in a market that's come off of booming prices, and now you're in a flat market. It's okay to use this discounted method of listing services, especially if you bonus the sales side of the commission. Quadrant one doesn't have a lot of bonus commissions going on yet. So it sort of sticks out, it'll draw your property some attention. This allows incentive for the listing agent to sell your property as well. So yeah, they may have a short commission on the listing side, but there's a big payday to sell this particular property. That gives them some inspiration to try and double end it. Also, at this point, again, you'll be one of the few giving a bonus commission. It draws attention to your property. Fortunately, quadrant one, at least in the beginning half of it, still has a public that thinks quadrant four is going on. At least half of it is going to still have fairly euphoric buyers still trying to get in. And so you can take advantage of that and maybe have a discounted broker list the property. Quadrant two, now selling is very tough, and you need to bonus the sales agent to get attention. You're probably going to go to mostly bonus commissions when you sell properties in quadrant two. How many agents do we have here? Just curious. Got about 10. What's the effect? What is better? I pay you a 1% bonus percentage in commission, or I give you a free trip or a bonus amount of dollars? Bonus dollars as opposed to more commission? More commission? How many are more commission? Let's see that hand. And any other kind of bonus? Let me see that. Okay, well, there's your answer. So forget the trips. Go with bonusing the commission. It's the dollars in the pocket that count. So keep that in mind. One of the things that's an advantage if you reduce your listing cost is you can pile the bonus commission side. And the new builders are very creative. So if you want to see how your market's doing, it's a good idea to sign up as being a broker if you have a license. And you get automated responses to their newest and greatest bonus or commission program. So we've signed up a number of places, and so we get emailed, and the commission structure in Corona for a new home has gone from 2 to 3 to 4 to 6 to 8% from the same builder in the same track. 100 grand discount on the price, 8% commission to sell, more freebies in between. And so why are they doing that? It's proven that it's worked. Can you get some agent to show your tract like it's the only tract in California if you pay them 8% and everyone else is paying 3%? Yeah, I guess so. And so that's why it works. And that's sometimes we have to play that game. If we have inventory for sale, we have to say, hey, look at my listing. This is special. It doesn't have to be a special house. It just has to pay people more. So in quadrant 2, we're going to roll out as many of the tricks as we can, and sometimes getting a discounted listing commission will allow you the room to bonus. Quadrant 3 is really a repeat of quadrant 1, only we're now coming off of the worst, going the other way. So fewer bonus commissions will be paid for selling properties. It's okay to use the method, especially if you bonus the side of the sale commission, if you're going to get a discounted broker again. They do work. At some point, though, the inventory starts declining and it actually starts to shift over to a more normal market where now the property speaks on its own and you don't really have to give it away as often. Quadrant 4, using a discounted listing broker. It's the easiest time to sell a property, so if you choose that method, because it's in the market that'll take little, it'll take almost no effort to sell real estate, you might have a case where it's okay to pay a realtor less. Your margins, though, will probably be so big you may consider sharing the wealth. I know that may be an unusual way to think, but I think it's a good way to treat people. So if you've gone through quadrant 2 and 3 with the same agent, and you get to quadrant 4, and all of a sudden everything you touch has got some huge profit attached to it, I would keep in mind that your team just went through some pretty tough times with you, and maybe make it all worthwhile where everybody does better. Remember that you're setting a precedent on how your company will be viewed, so don't take that lightly. So there's times when you do business where, yeah, saving money might be possible, but is it wise? Maybe not always. So when you're in quadrant 4 and everything's going well, I would try to bonus your team, make sure everybody does good at the same time. Top of page 89.
Bruce, we have a question.
Key charts for if you're choosing to discount the listing brokers. I'd really pay attention to the amount of trustees' deeds that are recording. You can get away with it when these are sliding down to the 3,000 mark from the 70,000 mark, but if they're headed in the other direction, I'd be very careful. I would want to attract the best broker to my team, and I would probably still be willing to pay a bonus commission to the sales side as well. Do you get the idea that selling properties in this quadrant is expensive? It really is. You know, it's so easy to fly by 10% sales cost that you really have to make sure you have that margin in there. Question?
How do you structure your bonus? Go through your listing broker? And
yes.
How does the listing broker feel when the selling broker gets a bonus?
Okay, and how does the listing broker feel when the selling person gets paid more? Hopefully it's somebody that's on your team that understands that that's necessary. If that property doesn't sell, how much does the listing agent get paid? They don't get paid anything. So it's really a team effort. You're trying to figure out, what is this market going to expect from my property? How are we going to sell it and be first? How do we get into escrow first? So I would say the listing agent that's thinking correctly understands the bonus to the sales side is necessary. Does that preclude them from double ending it, by the way? No. So they could end up with both sides of that commission if they chose to show the property. So I don't think we're hurting anybody at all.